Welcome. You are listening to a sermon from Christ Chapel Barrie. Listen and be blessed.
We love you, Lord. For dying on the cross of Calvary because of our sins. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Be magnified in our midst today in the name of Jesus. Your word says, if I be lifted up on high, I will draw all men unto me. Father, we lift you up. Manifest your presence in our midst. Amen. Glorify your name. Amen. Put the devil to shame. Amen. Let our joy be full. Amen. Let none of us live here the way we came. Amen. This week that we mark the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, something must be resurrected in our lives in the name of Jesus. Amen. Give us unique encounters with resurrection power. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Amen. We love you, Lord. For we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's have our seats. You are welcome to His presence. The reason Christ is here and He will touch you in Jesus' name. Amen. I know that it's next Sunday that they mark Easter. But brethren, the important thing is Jesus is alive. Tell somebody Jesus is alive.
Jesus is alive.
And He's here because of someone. Someone special today. Who is that person?
Me.
Tell someone He's here for me.
He's here for me.
And you'll meet with Him in Jesus' name.
Amen.
John chapter 14 verse 26. John 14, 26. It's a passage we know very well. John 14, 26. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things. He shall teach you how many things?
All things.
And bring all things to your remembrance. Said, now say, whatsoever I have said unto you. He will teach you all things. He will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever He has said unto you. We've been looking at that topic, Lord, do what? Teach us to pray. And we got to a point where we said, when you begin to pray, we start with our Father. And that tells me that before you can approach God, there must be a relationship. And the first relationship that is that He must be your Father. If He's not your Father, you are not qualified to approach Him. If He's not your Father, the only thing you can be doing is crying for His mercy. But then we say there is a level that goes higher than that. And what is that level? Approaching Him as what? As a friend. As a friend. And we say it is friends of God that intercede before God. And we gave the example of Abraham. We gave the example of Moses. Even Job. With all that he went through. The Bible says God blessed his later days. God restored all that he lost. When he did what? When he prayed for his friends. And then, maybe last week or 2 weeks or 2 weeks ago, we started looking at the fact that apart from being a father, a friend, that you can equally approach God as what? As a judge. As a judge. And that took us to a place we called the court of heaven. And then we began to look at the participants in the court of heaven. And the first person we looked at is we said, God the judge. God the what?
The judge.
Our God is a judge. And I remember I mentioned during the course of our discussing that topic that there's a very special prayer point. If it's the only prayer point that you know, you say, Father, concerning this situation, begin to judge. You don't know the law. You don't know how it will be applied. But brethren, when He begins to judge, He will judge the situations that you don't understand. Do you realize that? The problem, the issues we are grappling, maybe started from the time you were in the womb. But you wouldn't know. But He knows. Maybe it started from the first house you stepped into when you came to this land. You know, some of us, they rejected you where they said you should come. And you are crying instead of you to be thanking God. Because if you had slept in that house, the rest of your life would have been different. And negatively different. So they are rejecting you is a cause for what? That's why the Bible says, in everything, do what? Don't go around looking for people to sympathize with you. It's not worth it. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. When I was coming to Canada, every application and everything I put down says I was going to Calgary. After I got my documents, I just didn't feel like going to Calgary. So I went to the camp. I went to redemption camp in Nigeria and I said, I'm going to Canada and either in Calgary or anywhere, I don't know anybody. So I said, I don't know anyone. And I've made up my mind, I'm going to Toronto. And then they told me that the pastor of the parish, then we had only one parish. The pastor of the parish in Toronto is in the camp. They connected me with him. He connected me with the person that was assisting him. And that was how I came to Toronto. It wasn't my original plan. I didn't know anybody here. But here I am today. Because it's where God wants me to be. The person I was going to meet in, Calgary, up till tomorrow, I don't know him. Is he tall, short? Is he green or yellow? I don't know him. We've never met. And I've been in Canada now for how long? About 24 years. The Lord will make your way.
Amen.
He will make way for you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. So we talked about God the judge, and then we talked about Jesus the advocate. The advocate. And so today, very briefly, our time is fast spent. We're going to look at the third person in the court, in that court in heaven, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, our counselor. The passage that says, but the comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. Now, the word that is translated comforter there is the Greek word we are told, parakletos. Or like many of us, we know that word in English as paraclete. I hope paraclete is an English word. If it is not, forgive me. But what does that word mean? It was translated comforter. But we are made to understand that it equally means an advocate and it means an intercessor. It means one who pleads another's cause before a judge, a counsel for defense, a legal assistant. And brethren, if you don't have the Holy Spirit on your side and you get to the court of heaven and you are contesting with Brother Satan, you are lost. Is that not so? He alone knows what will be used to send him packing. And that's why, brethren, everything we do must be under the auction of who? The Holy Spirit. He knows what you don't know. He sees what you don't see. He knows where you are going, where there is danger ahead. And because he does not want you to step into that danger, and he has spoken, he has done so many things that you will not listen, he makes sure your car does not start. And that day, whoever wants to help your car to start, their own car too will not start. Because God has proposed that that place you are going, since there's no other way for you to hear him, he does not want you to go for whose sake? For your sake. We're talking about the Holy Spirit in the court of heaven. He's an intercessor. He's the advocate. He's the one that comes in as your aid. Testimony, the Holy Spirit. It's my aid. You know, many are times as children of God, you find yourself in a tough, a very tight corner. What do you need to say? Very simple. Holy Spirit, do what? Help me. You don't need to know where the inspiration will come. You have asked him to help you. He will help you. Tell somebody he will help you. Learn to tell the Holy Spirit to help you. In your place of work, tell him to help you. At home, tell him to help you. You don't know where you put that salt. And if you don't add this salt on time, it will be too late for this macaroni and cheese. They don't put salt in that one, have you? And so you cannot locate it. What do you say? Holy Spirit, do what? Help me. You are trying to solve that, whatever equation they call it. And there's just no headway. And you say, Holy Spirit, do what? Help me. And when you tell him to help you, be attentive. What he will give to you at times does not make sense. But what are you expected to do? Obey. There is nothing that gives the Holy Spirit more than what? Disobedience. It's a very gentle spirit. It's not like most of the men here, that when we want to talk to our children, what do? We, even when we talk to our wives, before you talk of children, when we shout at them, they have to go and hide in a room and say, he has come again. But the Holy Spirit will talk to you gently. The Holy Spirit is your aid. He pleads your case before a judge. He's a counsel for defense. In Romans chapter 8, Romans 8, 26 to 28. 26, 28 to 28. The Bible says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Please ask your neighbor, do you love God? As if you mean it, ask that person, do you love God? If you love God, that situation you find yourself in right now, it doesn't mean you are going to remain in it. But you can be hopeful that you will come out of it triumphantly. You can be hopeful that when you come out of this, your testimony will be wonderful. You can be hopeful that when we come to, there's a day we are going to have what we call a testimony cantata. Now, when that day comes, your own testimony will be the biggest. Amen. Tell somebody, mine will be the biggest. So, in the court of heaven, we have the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the next one. The next person. So, we've mentioned three people in the court of heaven. Number one, God the judge. Number two, Jesus the advocate. Number three, Holy Spirit, the comforter. Holy Spirit, the paraclete, the counselor. So many names for him. And number four, the accuser of the brethren. He has to be there. Will he not be there? He will be there. He will be there. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. It says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. He said, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. In the court of heaven, there is someone there whose job is to accuse and accuse and accuse. He accused Job before God. He came before the council. And God said, yeah, I don't know if God will not call him brother. He's not a brother to God. He said, Satan, where have you been? He said, I've been doing what? I've been going to. So homelessness did not start today. The first homeless man on earth is who? It's Satan. Up till tomorrow, the man is homeless. You see, that's why it's very pitiable that Satan will use some beautiful houses to deceive some people. A man that has no home. He's trying to deceive you with a house. Whatever Satan gives you is a mirage. Is that the right word for it? Yes. You see it and now, oh, this looks beautiful. Give him a few minutes. He will show himself. Remember that testimony somebody gave? Or I don't know if it's a testimony or it's just a story. That a man died and they gave him the choice. We are going to present to you heaven and hell. So you go to both of them and then you make a choice. Say, where do you want to go first? He said, okay. He wants to go to hell first. No, it's not his final destination. He has to make a choice. But he will see both before making a choice. So he went to hell. And when he went to hell, he met them. There was a concert going on. And the place was lively. And the music was, he said, wow. And he began to tap his feet. He saw beautiful, handsome men, beautiful women. Say, wow, this our pastor has been deceiving us. So this is hell. But before he had to make up his mind, he had to go to the other place. And so they now took him to heaven. And he got to heaven. The place was silent, serene. And he saw beautiful things. He said, this place is boring. So they took him back and said, okay, now make up your choice. And he said he was going to a hell. Say, okay, take him to hell. By the time he got back to hell, he saw hell in its reality. He saw bones, no longer human beings. He saw a maggot. He saw people crying and weeping. He said, well, no, there's a mistake. Where is it? This is not where I came. He saw Satan. Say, where is the place he came to? He said, that time you came, we were campaigning. Say, now that you have made up your mind to come to us, you now see the reality. Brethren, the devil is always doing what? Campaigning, especially here on earth. Don't let him get you. Tell somebody, don't let him get you. You know, when they say all that glitters is not gold, that is a good thing for you to know about the devil. He's a deceiver. So he is the next individual in the court of heaven. And there are a few things you must know about him. The first thing you must know about the devil is that the Bible says he was an angel called the light bearer. He was what? An angel called the light bearer. The Bible says, how art thou fallen? Isaiah 14 verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven? O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou called down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? He was an angel. He was the word Lucifer means the day star. It means light bearer. Wherever he went, I think there's a particular one of those occultic groups that they call, they don't mention the name Jesus. They call him the light. And they know what they are saying. Because the name Jesus, they can't withstand that name. That name, destabilizes them in the kingdom. He's called the light bearer. The second thing you must take note of concerning the devil is that the devil was not and will never be in the same league with Jesus. Tell somebody, the devil was not and will never be in the same league with Jesus. See, that's why, brethren, as children of God, there's no room for fear. Tell somebody, fear not. If you have truly given your life to Christ, why are you afraid of the devil? He's a fallen angel. Take your stand in the Lord, though. He's a fallen angel, and as a child of God, you can talk to him and he will obey you and listen to you. But that is if you are truly what? A child of God. If you are not one of those that are combining, the Bible says, because you are neither hot nor what? He said, I will do what? I will spew you out of my mouth. If you are hot, you know you are for God. If you are cold, you know you are for the devil. If you mix both, then the devil will play ping pong with you. Then he can push you around. He was not and will never be in the same league with Jesus. The third thing you must know is that he is a deceiver. We already talked about that. Brethren, the devil is a deceiver. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 to 15, he's a deceiver. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13 to 15. He said, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into what? The apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into what? An angel of light. Say, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Of course, we know that this is the end times. I understand we were discussing during the Sunday school. There are ministers, there are pastors, brethren, that are not servants of God. True or false? True. I give you so many accounts of such, but it's not my place to advertise evil here. But many of them do not, they are not giving you the instruction of God. And so when they give you commandments, when they talk, when they deceive you, you cannot accuse God. And many of us, you know why we are easily deceived? The Bible says, in the end times, what will happen? Perilous times shall come. Men shall be what? Men shall be what? Is that in your Bible? Love. Many of us are easily deceived because we are lovers of what? Ourselves. Ourselves. And so we want to hear that which will make us, maybe take us above every other person. The devil gives you one thing free. What does he do? He takes something bigger. He takes something bigger. Take note of that. Salvation is free and is found in Jesus. If the devil gives you anything, you will pay dearly for it. He's a deceiver. Number four, about the devil, he's a liar. I'm sure we all know that, isn't it? He's a liar. John chapter 8, verse 43 to 44. John 8, 23 to 43 to 44. John 8, 43 to 44. He said, why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Why can they not hear his word? Look at verse 44. He said, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He's a liar, he's the father of lies. That's the devil. So when you know you are dealing with the devil, is there anything he will tell you that you should believe? No. No. He's a liar. And the Bible says, if you are in league with the devil, you cannot hear the words of Jesus. Please ask your neighbor, are you a liar? Don't be afraid. I'm the one that says you should ask. Ask your neighbor, are you a liar? Because the Bible makes you to understand that if you are a liar, who is your father? The devil. I'm not a liar. Jesus is my brother. But if you are a liar, the devil is your father. That's what the Bible says. He is a liar. The fifth thing we need to know about him is that he's the source of temptations. He's what? He's the source of temptations. James said it. In James chapter 1 verse 13. He said, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of what? Of his own lust. And enticed. Verse 15. Then when lust had conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When it is finished, it bringeth forth death. So do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Brethren, the Christian race is a race of discipline. It's a race of what? Discipline. Please ask your neighbor, are you disciplined? Because if you are not disciplined, you cannot be a Christian. That's the truth. It's easy to do so many other things. It's easy to be distracted. And it's easy to blame. Look, the road that leads to heaven is what? It has not gotten wider. In fact, it's narrower. If there's anything like that. The road that leads to heaven is narrow. It's not widening. You must ask yourself, on what path am I going? Is it a path of permissiveness? Is it a path that nobody can correct you? Is it a path that rejects instruction? Brethren, if Christ tarries, every one of us will one day go. Let's say you live to be 200 years. Abi? I know many of us, if they give me the option to live on this earth to 200 years, I will reject it. It's punishment. It's punishment. But many of us live as if life will not end on this earth. There is something called accountability. Tell somebody you are accountable. Many people that tell you that there is no God is because they don't want to believe that they will account for what they are doing. But either you like it or not, there is a God in heaven. Whom the Bible says does what? Ruled in the affairs of mankind. Even if your boss is the devil. Are we together? Even if your boss is the devil. So long as you are in league with the living God, that boss will do what? He will bow. The Bible says, at the name of Jesus, what will happen? Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess of things in heaven, things on earth, things underneath the earth. Joseph had an opportunity, brethren, to sleep with Sister Potiphar. And he will become indeed the head slave in the household. They might even buy Egyptian citizenship for him. Oh, yes. So that he will no longer be a servant. He can be walking around. But Joseph said, how can I do this evil? And do what? But many of us have sold our birthright. We have taken it upon ourselves to sin against God on a daily basis. The Holy Spirit initially was talking to us. But he has spoken so many times and we did not listen. That he has gone to the point of doing what? He has stopped talking. He has stopped talking because now even if he shouts, you cannot hear. The devil is the source of temptations. He tempted Jesus, did he not? Matthew chapter 4. We're not going to read it from verse 1 to verse 11. Jesus did not fail. You will not fail in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Bible says, when the temptation was over, the devil left him for how long? That's it. For a season. It's the same thing. Everything the devil gives you is for a short while. Not even just for it. For a what? A very short while. And that's what takes you to the next point. The devil never gives you anything free. He never does what? He never gives you anything free. That free sex will cost you your destiny. Yes. There's something the Bible calls stolen waters. And you think after the water is stolen, everything is fine. Nobody will know. Pastor does not need to know. Brethren, there are many things I don't want to know. And that's the truth. It makes my life easy. Because there are some things that if I know them, they complicate life for me. I don't need to know. So I can declare the counsel of God the way he wants me to declare it. But every one of us, we are going to give account to him. The devil never gives you anything free. The Bible says in John 10:10, we know it very well. He said, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The freedom you have as a child of God is the freedom many desire but cannot have it. And what do? You go and mortgage that freedom because you want to be like them. Because of a car. I was listening to someone, a lady's testimony during the weekend. And she said, the occult group she belongs to, you have a lot of money. But that money, when it comes at a particular point in time, you must finish spending it maybe within 2 weeks. Yeah. Within that 2 weeks, if you don't spend it, it will disappear. Another one will come up. So that's why when the money comes, they start buying new cars, they buy house, they have to spend that money. And you are looking at them, you are envying them. You have peace of mind that they don't have. Many of them have sacrificed their wives, their husbands, their children, and so on and so forth. You are living in what is called the kingdom of God. You have your freedom. You are able to communicate or commune with your God. And you are envying those that are serving the devil. The devil never gives you anything free. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 13 to 18, this is very important. It said, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. Verse 14, Proverbs 9. For she seated at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Say, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanted understanding, she said unto him, stolen waters are sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Verse 18. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that our guests are what? In the depths of hell. The man did not go seeking for her, but she went out looking for him. And what was expected of him? To stand as a child of God. To stand and say, no, I'm a child of God. Joseph fled. So I should do what? I should do what? Let me be laughing at you. I said, we saw somebody running on the street of Barrio. Is that person not your member? I said, Pastor, if you saw what I saw, I said, God bless you, Jerry. The man that is running today, tomorrow will be driving his Pajero. And he can tell his story. Say, if you saw what I saw on that day when I ran. Say, thank God I can tell my story today. But if you have mortgaged your future, the story is different. Finally, brethren, the only language the devil understands is what? It's the language of violence. You can't plead with the devil. Maybe you are here today and you are saying, the devil has tormented me long enough. What is the way out? The way out is not for you to go and say, hey, Satan, you want to bang it, and you want to do, he will finish you. Matthew 11 verse 12 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered what? Violence. And the violent take it by force. That song we sing says, I went to the enemy's camp and I did what? I took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet. Satan is under my feet. Don't wait until we get to heaven. Put him in his place right from here. But you cannot do that if you allow him to cheat you. You can't do that if you allow him to deceive you. You can't do that if you allow him to continue to divert your path. One day you will wake up and say, enough is... Tell somebody, enough is enough. And you've got to take that action. I say, Lord, from today onwards, I stop toying with the devil. I stop toying with that which will not edify. I stop toying with that which will take me away from the path of eternity. You've got to make up your mind. The only language the devil understands is that of violence. He will come back and try to entice you. But you've got to take a stand and say, no, Satan, you've lost it. I'm no longer for you. I am for Jesus. I'm running an eternal race. I'm running a race to eternity. Let's bow down our heads. In the court of heaven, Satan will be there. And he's there to accuse. He's there to say, you've done this, you've done that, and all that stuff. What will be your response? What will you say? Ask yourself today. Maybe you've lost something to him. Whatever it is you have lost to the devil, you can reclaim it today. You can take a stand. You know that songwriter says, I've wandered far away from God. Lord, I'm coming home. Maybe that's your song this morning. You are not singing to pastor, you are not singing to anybody. You are singing to God. Maybe the devil has stolen something and you know it. And you want it, you want to reclaim it. This morning, you need to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and say, Lord, there has to be a replacement of so and so that the enemy has stolen. That's not something you do in secret. If you are in that situation, and you know that, you want to stand before the King of Kings and say, Lord, today, there has to be a divine turnaround. If you are in the sanctuary, please come forward. We are going to pray together. You know, either because of steps that you have taken, or because of one thing you have done or the other, you know the devil is cheating you. You know, it's the day that you need to, turn back to him and say, enough of this. I don't know what your story is. You know that story. But if that is your situation, come to the front today and the Lord will touch you. And the Lord will touch you. And it will ensure that you don't live here the same. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. God bless you. The Lord is talking to you. Don't look at anybody. Don't look at anyone. It's you and him. You and him. You and the living God. You and this God the Father. He created the devil, but he didn't create him as the devil. He created him as an angel of light. But the devil made a choice that he does not want to go to hell alone when he was thrown down from heaven. He shouldn't go to hell with you. Hell is his abode. There's no repentance for him. But there's repentance for you and I. Are you in church this morning and you have an issue to settle with God? Not with pastor. I don't know your story. You have an issue to settle with God. That, Lord, this is the way the devil has been cheating me. This is the way the devil has deceived me. I'm ready to reclaim my position. You know what Isaac told Esau? He said, when you become restless, you will take back what the devil has stolen from you. But you must be restless. You must get to the point where you say, Lord, enough is enough. There has to be a change today. There has to be a turnaround. Cry to God. You are here in front. Please cry to God. You are not crying to man. He's here to hear you. That's why he has sent me to you this morning or this afternoon, as the case may be. Cry to him. He's your father. He's your father. He's your father. Let there be a change, a transfer. Oh, let powers change hand today. Let powers change hand. Mase kadema soto liandragabo. Iruska linda itragabundoria. Ye karaba soto le renda itragabo. Malmo soto le kekerima ushkatali andaria. Rapasko poria, maska koria, maska korima satuli andragabo. Eizatoli masika kurba kashatali andaria. Mezolebos kekelia. Le karima soto linda itragabo. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want us all to just say, Lord Jesus. Every one of us, say, Lord Jesus. I thank you for dying for my sins on the cross of Calvary. Today, take your rightful place in my life. In whatever way the devil has been cheating me, I say, enough is enough. I repent of things I have done that have given opportunity to the devil to reign in my life. Have mercy upon me. From this day onwards, reign in my life. Reign in my life. Reign in my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Let your light shine forth in me. Be rooted in me. Be established in me. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Lord, I commit these your children in front here into your hands. You know their pleas. Meet them at that point of need in Jesus' name. Oh, there are a number of people in the audience who are saying, oh, what will this one say? What will that one say? These ones, they have not said, what will anyone say? They have come to meet with you. Father, let today mark a divine turnaround. Amen. From today onwards, Lord, show yourself in their lives. Amen. Show yourself in their situation. Amen. You are the God of mercy. If you could have mercy upon David, you can have mercy on anyone. All you just expect of us is a heart that is repentant. Your children have come to you this afternoon. Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
Touch them.
Amen.
Make a way.
Amen.
And let your name alone be glorified in their lives.
Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Amen.
We love you, Lord.
Amen.
For we have prayed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. It is well with you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Before I go back to my seat, I just want to recognize some of our brethren that are worshiping with us today. They are not first timers. Bro Fatola and sister, God bless you. You are welcome. They are, when we started this church 19 years ago, for more than 2 years after we started, they used to come all the way from, you were in Woodbridge then, eh? What's that place called?
Vaughan.
They used to come to worship with us from Vaughan. They would come to Barry for more than 2 years until we were able to get some people to take over what they were doing. So there's no way you can tell the story of this church that you not mention this couple. So I want to thank God for their lives. You're welcome. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our sermon here on Christ Chapel TV. Tune in next time for the next sermon. God bless you.